Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob's all decked out in orange today, so I can see him very easily on the other side of the glass. Thank you, Bob, for getting the lights just the way I like them in our new broadcast center here at KVOI. Nicest studios for sure in Arizona. These are beautiful state-of-the-art studios. We've been here now a couple of, I think today we launched this about 2 weeks ago today in the new studio. It is Wednesday, the midweek edition, January 30th, 2019. I am so thankful I am not back in my hometown of Chicago. Friends back there telling me 22 degrees below zero. I could not handle that. Growing up as a kid, I can kind of remember maybe 5 degrees below zero. And yeah, that was enough to make me want to come out to the University of Arizona in 1965. You know, get away from that cold weather. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And of course, 24/7, the mothership, kvoi.com. That's available for you live streaming there. We've got our podcasts available for you 24/7, again, at buckmastershow.com. Anytime during the hour, 790-2040, that is our live line number. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She's a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the very popular Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of another popular book. It's titled Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Let's go now on the live line to the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and Dr. Victoria Mazes. Are you standing up doing the interview today, Dr. Mazes?
I am standing up. I have stopped my treadmill so it doesn't make too much noise during our interview, but I am indeed standing at my desk.
Did you grow up back east? Did you ever have temperatures that were 20-some below zero?
I did grow up on the East Coast in New York City, to be specific, and I don't ever recall temperatures that cold. I remember some big snowstorms, but no temperatures like that.
No, that's just outrageous. There is a growing body of research, Dr. Mazes, suggesting that our bodies function best when we align our eating patterns with our circadian rhythms. What are the circadian rhythms to begin with?
Well, circadian rhythms are these internal rhythms that are set by a master clock in our brain. It has a fancy name, the suprachiasmatic nucleus. The suprachiasmatic nucleus,
okay,
which is a part of the brain that is in the hypothalamus and essentially signals light or darkness as experienced, you know, in your environment with by your eyes, tell the brain what time it is, and that affects our physical body, our mental, emotional body, and we have this cycle. I think everybody has experienced this. When you get tired in the evening, that's your circadian rhythm saying it's time to go to sleep. You know, when you feel alert and awake in the morning, same thing. But it turns out that our circadian rhythm affects much more than just our desire for sleep.
I didn't know it affected our eating patterns.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
It is.
So you can imagine from an evolutionary perspective, before electricity, that when we were in a very dark night, perhaps in a cave, perhaps there was no moon and it was dark, our body physiologically is not expecting to eat in the middle of the night. It's expecting to be at rest, and therefore the digestive system can be tamp down. It doesn't have to be working so hard because no food is coming in. And so our bodies are very, very much better at digesting food during the daytime hours and actually from morning until evening. So those late night snacks or those midnight munchies, our bodies are actually not really prepared to digest those as well.
And this research, this doctor, I believe it was Dr. Panda, who writes about a lot of this in a new book, The Circadian Code, saying there's really an optimal period there, Dr. Mazes. It's a 15-hour period, really, that we should do our eating. Isn't that what you came away from?
Well, actually, Dr. Panda says that the average person eats 15 hours or longer. So you can imagine you wake up in the morning, maybe you have a
right.
cup of coffee with cream, maybe some sweetener in it. and then, you know, the last thing you put in your mouth at night could be at 10 o'clock at night if you're having a little bedtime snack or you're having a glass of wine or something of that sort. And so he actually, and many researchers have contributed to what's in his book, including Dr. Courtney Peterson, who's at the University of Alabama. She actually was a speaker at our nutrition conference last year. But essentially what they have found is restricting the number of hours you eat each day from morning, so say from 7 in the morning until perhaps 6 p.m., or even a little shorter, so that you're eating in a narrower time period, is the healthiest in terms of our metabolism. It helps people who are trying to lose weight, even if they eat the same number of calories. By eating in a shorter time period, and Dr. Peterson's research actually looks at an 8-hour time period, which is pretty restricted, you know, if
yeah.
you think about when you normally eat. But what's very important, if listeners are going to try this, is that it doesn't work to eat from noon to 8 p.m. It really has to be what's called early time-restricted feeding, so from morning until early evening.
We're listening to Dr. Victoria Mazes on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted Local News and Talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's a little restrictive in the fact that working folks, many of them don't even get home till 7 and they eat at 8 or even later. That's a problem.
Right. So there are other ways to mimic this. There's a famous saying that you should eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper.
Okay.
So front-loading your calories, you know, having a substantial breakfast, having a good healthy lunch, and then having a very light dinner. There are countries in the world where this is how people eat, but not so much in the United States, where we tend to have dinner be our biggest meal. And so it does appear that if you follow that advice of breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper, that also supports a much healthier digestion. Also, there are people who follow other kinds of regimens where they will restrict their feeding for some of the days of the month, but not all of the days of the month. But the way we believe that this works is that it is through the circadian rhythm and the ways in which the timing of the circadian rhythm affects our digestion and our metabolism and whether we lose weight or put on weight. It also affects our heart health. So to the extent that people can put this in place, it is probably going to be a healthy change.
Well, in the Mediterranean diet, in the Mediterranean, in countries like Spain, where they have maybe Spain isn't such a good example, but areas where they do eat a bigger meal in the middle of the day, the reason I say Spain isn't such a good example, because they're notorious, Dr. Mazes, for having dinner at 9 and 10 o'clock at
yeah.
night. But the idea of having a big meal, your big meal in the middle of the day is not foreign to many countries.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So, and there is more research, you know, to suggest that this is a healthier way to eat and to front load the amount of food you eat earlier in the day.
All right, Dr. Mazes, stick around. We'll be back with you in a moment or two. But first, I want to tell people about one of our great sponsors, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve and his team have a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. If you would like to have lunch right now, maybe have your main meal right now over at Mona's Danish Bakery. They've got some beautiful sandwiches. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link to Mona's Danish Bakery on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's where you'll find a link to all of our great partners who make our program possible. 12:15 now on Buckmaster on 10:30. Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We'll be back with Dr. Mazes. 790-2040 if you would like to ask her a question or a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Buckmaster Show, midweek edition on 10:30. the voice, trusted local news and talk, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, with us on the live line. Dr. Mazes, our contributor on health. And before we go back to Dr. Mazes, Ingrid would like to ask a question. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Yes. Actually, I wanted to say also that it's very exciting on the south shore of Lake Superior, chipping the ice off your stairs when the temperatures get down to 30 degrees below zero. that's not windshield factor. That's how some of us live or lived.
Yeah.
Bill, you talked about taking, having a big meal.
Yes.
In Mexico, they'll take a little siesta after their big meal.
Yep.
I'm not sure what that is. But getting to circadian rhythms and things like that, I've noticed that my appetite perks up in the fall when the days get shorter, especially after the autumnal equinox, and it's difficult to stay away from the potluck table. is there something to that? And I know that, or at least from personal experience, I think that your hair falls out a little bit when the days get shorter.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I have a few questions there, I guess. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank
you. Goodbye.
Bye.
So, great question. Mm-hmm. It turns out that we don't just have circadian rhythm, which is a daily rhythm that's based on light and dark, but we have other kinds of rhythms as well. And we have these rhythms that do shift with the seasons. We have rhythms that are much shorter that happen every day within the annual within the daily rhythm. So there's several different kinds of rhythms, and they're affected by seasons. Of course, you're going to have a different length of the light or day that affects the eye and that the body senses. It could be that the change in appetite that you experience is very much related to that change in daylight, but I can't tell you for sure.
Okay. Dr. Mazes, I want to switch topics to talk a little bit about the trillions, and I guess that's a lot, trillions of microbes inside the healthy human body. There are a lot of the little folks in our body, and we're learning more that the germs in the gut area, in the stomach area, talk to our brain. This is some fascinating research. What could you give us the bottom line on this?
Well, I can't give you the bottom line because it is being actively researched, but I can perhaps shed some light on where we stand on this right now, and it's really fascinating. We have in medicine a term called the blood-brain barrier, and most people would have thought that what happens in the gut would have no impact on the brain because of this blood-brain barrier, and things just don't get to the brain. But in the past decades, we have learned more and more about the way in which the bacteria in the gut, it's not just bacteria, it's also viruses and fungi, and it's called the microbiome to account for all of those different organisms, can dramatically affect the brain and perhaps is some of the underlying cause of things that we dread, like Alzheimer's or autism in children, perhaps obesity, that all of these may be linked to what's happening in our microbiome.
What is the research saying? You mentioned there may be even the connection with, and actually I think it was an expert on dementia, John Cryan, a professor at University College Cork in Ireland, who has written about this. Tell us what he discovered.
Well, he has been a leading microbiome researcher and has been one of the people to really promote this gut-brain axis link. But as an example of one of the studies that's been done is there are mice that are prone to develop Alzheimer's or an Alzheimer's-like disease. And what the scientists did is they gave these mice who were prone to Alzheimer's antibiotics to kill off much of their gut bacteria. And that's something important to realize, that when you take an antibiotic, you may not just be knocking out the bacteria that's causing an infection, but there are all of these other bacteria that are casualties of this war that you've waged on the infection. And so here they gave a broad spectrum antibiotic, knocked out most of the gut bacteria, and what they found was there were fewer of these clumps of protein in the brain that are linked to dementia. And even when young mice are given antibiotics for a short period of time, when they get old, they have less of these clumps. So we know that there's something in the microbiome that is linked to Alzheimer's. The problem is we don't yet know what it is. You know, it either could be that there's a particular microbe that increases the risk, but it also could be these microbes do stuff. They don't just sit in the gut. They create a variety of chemicals, sometimes of neurotransmitters, and so it could be a product of that microbe that is actually increasing the risk of Alzheimer's.
And this, talk a little bit about that, again, that so-called blood-brain barrier. This is kind of new to me, and I'm sure it is to our listeners. So the brain is shielded from the microbes, invasion or whatever, by this barrier. So do some molecules pass through, though, normally, or how does that work?
Well, so it's a really important defense. I mean, if you think about how important the brain is to our health as human beings,
right,
it makes sense that there would be some mechanism to protect the brain. And so that is the job of the blood-brain barrier. And only very small molecules, some fat-soluble molecules and some gases can pass freely from the blood into the brain tissue, but in the microbiome, neurotransmitters, which are really tiny but very important messages for the brain, actually can cross, and they're not the only ones. There are some medications that can cross. Otherwise, our medicines for things like epilepsy probably wouldn't work. So it is not a complete barrier, but it does help the brain be protected from certain toxins and bacteria.
We're talking with Victoria Mazes on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Is it likely that the influence of these microbes on the brain begins even before birth, Dr. Mazes?
Well, it seems to. We sometimes think of the mother, of the baby as being sterile while it's in the uterus.
Right.
But of course, if the mother's microbiome is producing molecules that can get to the fetal brain, that has an effect. Also, the predominant organisms that are in the mother are transmitted to the baby when the baby's born. Now, the healthiest way for that to happen is through a vaginal birth, because there's different bacteria in the vaginal canal than a C-section birth, where the baby is seeded with skin bacteria. And then breastfeeding is critically important for the baby's microbiome to develop normally. But I'm just going to give you an interesting tidbit that I recently learned. And there's a bacteria that's normally in babies called Bifidobacter infantis. Listen to that last word, infantis, infant. And yet the majority of babies in the U.S. don't have this.
What?
In developing nations, they do. So it appears that in some way, probably through our changes in diet, it could be through the wide use of antibiotics, it could be some environmental reason, mothers aren't carrying Bifidobacter infantis in their bodies, and therefore they're not transmitting it to the baby when the baby is seeded. And this particular bacteria is important for digesting breast milk. So it's incredibly complex, and we're at the very beginning stages of learning about it. I think the takeaway point is that the microbiome, the gut, has way, way more of an impact on the brain than we ever imagined. And it potentially can serve as a tool for health. So by helping people alter their microbiome, we may be able to help prevent Alzheimer's or autism.
Oh, it's just a fascinating area. And again, it's in its infancy, isn't it, this particular research?
It's very early, but very promising.
Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. Anything that you would like to update our listeners on going on at the Center for Integrative Medicine?
We have an exciting conference coming up speaking on the topic of the brain called Integrative Mental Health. It will be in San Francisco, so a wonderful city to visit, April 15th through 17th of 2019. And most of our faculty from the center will be going there, and we'll have all sorts of wonderful guest speakers, including the famous journalist Michael Pollan, speaking about how to change your mind or the impact of psychedelics on the brain.
Oh, very interesting. Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. I hope the new year is off to a great start for you. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, you can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or of course you can follow her on Twitter at vmazes. You can also follow me, Bill Buckmaster, on Twitter at Buckmaster. That's how you find us there. Of course, we're on Facebook, and we're on 1030, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We're at the midway point of the program. Coming up next, I can see him now out in the waiting room from our great studios here. We've got all this glass around us. I can see David Safir waiting in the green room. It is actually green, the walls. David ready to go on in just a couple of moments. But first, let's hear from the great partners of The Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, and we are excited to announce that our annual travel showcase has a new location, new presentations, and exciting new offers. Sunday, February 24th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador, we'll have over 40 travel representatives offering a presentation and your chance to learn about where they go, who they are, and their exciting offers. I will also be presenting an unfiltered look at travel topics, so you do not want to miss the 2019 Travel Showcase from Bon Voyage.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. Silver City and Grant County makes such a great getaway. If you've got a couple of days off, midweek or weekends, doesn't matter. 3-hour drive over to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find a listing of some great places to stay in the area and many recreation opportunities. Hanging out in historic Silver City. There's some great restaurants now in downtown Silver City, doing some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, several dozen recreation opportunities. All of those articulated and listed as well at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now back to the Buckmaster Show one of our about 24 contributors to this program. I think we've got about 26 or 27. He's David Safir, and David took a self-imposed little bit of, I don't want to call it a moratorium, but just a time away from his writing at TucsonWeekly.com in the Range column. David, it's good to have you back. There was a time there where you thought, you weren't sure if you were going to continue blogging.
Well, I was thinking right around about a month before the election in 2018 that I was getting kind of, I don't know if it was tired of it, or I felt myself, instead of being drawn to my computer saying, I got to write this, saying, oh, darn, I got to sit down and pound out something. And that's just not right. I don't have to do that. I blog more for an avocation out of love than I don't need to do it. So I just stopped. I told Jim Ninsel, the editor, I'm going to stop for a while and then I'll let you know around January. And as of November 6th or November 8th, that was it. And something came up in December and I absolutely had to write about that. So I said, okay, Jim, I'm going to make an exception and write about
right,
it.
Right.
Well, it just kept happening, and I knew we had the legislative session coming up, and I knew there were going to be things that I wanted to say, and instead of just walking around my house muttering to myself, I just, you know, I felt myself drawn back to the typewriter. So, or type, did I say typewriter?
Well, you did, but we'll forgive you.
Thank you. But I'm blogging a little bit less often and find myself therefore going a little bit deeper into the subject. So I'm really enjoying the kind of renewal and the change.
Lots going on in the state legislature, and we're fortunate, serendipitous, as these things sometimes happen. I book guests a couple of weeks out, but they suddenly become newsmakers of the week. And one of them is J.D. Mesnar, the head of the Senate Finance Committee, David. And there's this big dust up right now about money, tax money, that should it go back to the taxpayers or should it go into the state rainy day fund? Teacher advocates are saying that up to $200 million could be going to schools and should be going to schools. Joe Thomas, who is head of the Arizona Teachers Association, got on Facebook, and I saw his message to his Facebook people. He did one of those videos on Facebook, 7 or 8 minute video talking about, hey, this is kind of flying under the radar screen, folks, but it's happening, and this money's not going to go to schools, and he's upset about it.
Well, it's a big deal, and this is one of those rare times when Joe Thomas and I tend to be in league with Governor Ducey, because mm-hmm. Ducey wants to keep the money. Because of the weird things that happened with the federal tax cut, it affects some states, it affects us, it affects New York State, and I'm not sure how many others. But basically, it means that more money will come out of taxes here, and they don't know how much, but they say maybe 150, maybe 200, maybe $250 million mm-hmm. will go into the coffers. And one thing, by the way, that isn't mentioned nearly enough is, because of the way it's structured, it's going to hit the wealthy far more. In other words, people who are making $50,000, $60,000, maybe up to $100,000. The difference for them may be zero, or it'll be minimal, the extra amount that they have to pay, a couple dollars. But because of the way it's scheduled and the way it disallows some deductions, because those are disallowed now at the federal level, it'll be more for the wealthy. And I say, wonderful. We had that proposition knocked off the ballot, if you remember, that
yes,
was
I
going
do.
To
yeah.
raise the tax on the wealthy, and it should be happening with the income inequality.
There was some wording in it there that the state Supreme Court didn't like.
Right.
Yeah, so it didn't make the ballot.
And you and I had talked about that earlier. I thought it was going to get through. But now Mesnard wants to get rid of that money. Mm-hmm. Ducey wants it. And if he gets it, that money, along with some budget surpluses, have been coming in, Bill. And it's really interesting. Our economy is kind of humming along well, and more money is coming in. And Ducey wants to stock a lot of it away in rainy day fund. And I think that's a great idea, to have money socked away. But there are so many needs in education, and education has been lessened in terms of the amount of budgets that have gone to it since 2008 with a Great Recession, that we got to do some makeup. So Ducey, I think, could split that money a little bit more equitably, whether we get that tax boost or not.
We're speaking with David Saphir. He writes primarily about education at the column that's called The Range, the section of blogs on TucsonWeekly.com. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Speaking of the legislature, Representative Randy Freese, who is the House Minority Leader, Randy Freese, Dr. Freese from the Tucson area. He, by the way, will be on our program a week from Friday. He wrote an email about his thoughts on the Ducey plan to add money for, what is it, school resource officers?
Right. By the way, I have to say that, full disclosure, he's my rep, and I know him pretty well, and he's a wonderful guy, and as smart as a whip, and just really has a heart. You know, he's really a very, very caring, feeling person. Well, one thing he wrote in this is, you know, everybody's worried about school safety. Everybody's worried about shootings, God forbid, making it to Arizona schools. And they want to do whatever is necessary to keep that from happening. And the two camps are always put more guns in schools, get people with guns on their hip in school in case a shooting happens to take out the shooter. And the other is preventative measures that will help identify and hopefully help people who are having problems in those areas who are in the schools.
And well, his opinion, by the way, is very relevant, because for folks who don't know, Dr. Freese is a trauma surgeon at Banner here in Tucson, and was instrumental in helping save the life of Gabrielle Giffords.
Oh, absolutely.
And go ahead.
He does things. He patches people up after gunshots, and he knows how devastating and horrible it is. So he's really one of those people who would like to push more effective, sane gun regulation. And I agree totally. Mm-hmm. So back to this.
Yes.
Ducey has a prospective budget. It doesn't exist until the legislators vote on it. But he says, okay, let's put about $15 million into preventative measures. And what he wants to do is put about $9 million of that into school resource officers. In other words, police officers in the schools. And those would go into a certain number of schools. And then after the $9 million, another $6 million to hire more social workers and more counselors. Well, Randy Freese thinks that if you put more police officers in the school, what you do is you increase the school-to-prison pipeline. You increase the fact that schools become a way to move students into the legal system, and as soon as students get into the legal system, the chance of them staying in that in a negative sense is higher. So he says he wants all of the money to go to social workers and counselors. He points out, and this is just a phenomenal statistic, right now in Arizona, there's one counselor for every 900 students, one for 900, and the national average is 1 to 200.
Wow.
So
had no idea.
So You know, if counselors are the first line of defense, they see these kids, they see their attendance reports, they see their grades when they're slipping. A kid comes in and cries to the counselor and tells them their problems, or other kids say, I'm really scared about what's going on with such and such. If you don't have the counselors, they've got to say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't have the time to deal with it. So we need more of that.
I am shocked. Give me that number again.
We have one counselor for every 900 students in Arizona.
Whoa.
Imagine how effective somebody can be. At my high school where I taught in the Portland, Oregon area, I'd say it was 1 to 150 or 1 to 200. So they were able to get around to students. Most of them don't need much of anything, except maybe a little bit of talk about their schedule. But those who do need something, you can set aside time and give half an hour to that kid and bring in their parents and look for some kind of psychological, emotional help above that if you think is necessary, because you actually have a little bit of time to move around. And 1 to 200, apparently, according to Freeze, and I believe that.
All right, we'll talk more with David Safir on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I want to give you the number. Perhaps there's something that David said you do not agree with. Maybe you think we need more school resource officers in the form of police on campuses rather than social workers and counselors. I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. Our live line number is 790-2040. We will take our break. It's midweek on Buckmaster. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. David Safir is here from the TucsonWeekly.com. David writes primarily about education, and I asked for calls, and we have one. Let's go now to Steve, has a comment. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
How are you today?
I didn't mean there should be more counselors, but I think what the real problem needs to be done is more law enforcement or resource officers in schools, because of the kids that are in school, all the rampant drug use that's going on in high schools here in Tucson. I have my friend's kid is involved in that, and he's trying to get them out of it, and it's in the high school. They deal it in the bathrooms. So they need to start thinking about the safety of all the other kids, and the kids who are doing bad need to be punished. And if that's going to jail or juvie or whatever, that's part of the deal, to get them out of the school so other kids can have a successful life at the high school and be safe and be able to go on with their life. Because if you look at the rampant drug use and interview parents about this, I guarantee you, you'll see a huge number of people who are concerned about what's going on in these high schools here in Tucson.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve, I agree with you about the rampant drug problem. As someone who taught 30 years, I know how much drugs goes on in the school. And though I couldn't see the transactions, I know there were lots of drug transactions there. I will say that the resource officers are not, their duty is not to raid the bathrooms and to go through people's lockers and things like that. That's more, if that's done, that's more an administrative responsibility. Their job is to be around to keep any violent problems down, or obviously if there was some kind of a shooting, to take care of something of that nature. What people are concerned about, you said that the bad people should be locked up or put in juvie or something. This is exactly the problem. There are any number of problems that happen in schools, sometimes serious problems that happen in schools, which can be taken care of in-house if there's no resource officer there. As soon as there's a resource officer, if there's something that could be considered a legal infraction, often that student gets involved in the criminal justice system. And what happens is once a student is in that system, it's very, very difficult to get out of that system. And that's why people talk about the school-to-prison pipeline. There's a whole lot of research on the problems of making schools places that lead to incarceration. Obviously, if a student does something that's really over the top, really dangerous, really problematic, you have to do that. But any number of things can be done in the school. You know, schools are the parents when the children aren't with the parents, and I mean all the way through high school. They're the parental force. And like parents, their job is to try to make things as good as possible for the children there and to keep them as safe as possible, not to lock them up when there are problems. So I disagree with you on that.
Did you want to say anything more about Representative Freeze?
Yeah, we were talking about the amount of money. There's $9 million for the police officers right now in Ducey's budget, and another $6 million for social workers and counselors. What Representative Freeze is suggesting, and I like the idea a lot, is make it $15 million as a pot that's supposed to go for school preventative activities, and then let each school board decide how they're going to divide it up. If they want to give it to school resource officers, fine. If they think they can really use social workers and counselors more, they know their school better than Governor Ducey and better than the legislators. So I think it's a very good idea.
That's David Safir. When we come back with David, we'll be talking about charter school reform. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site, home to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Tour the five shops at Zocalo Village, and you can also go to greenthingsaz.com. Now, back to David Safir and talk a little bit about charter schools. One of the goals of this legislative session, we heard about it all summer, we're going to talk about transparency in reporting about charter schools and what would be generally called, David Safir, charter school reform.
Right. And it is a big deal. There were a number of things that were reported in the Republic, and unfortunately they weren't reported in the Star, so people down here didn't hear about it, about a legislator who made about a $10 million killing by selling his for-profit charter school, somebody else who made $15 or $20 million on a D or F rated school, and all kinds of other things that are improprieties financially and not financially. The Grand Canyon Institute said that there are as many as 50 charter schools right now who are so financially insolvent that they're just a step away from closing, and another 50 who are on shaky grounds. Well, I'm going to praise Governor Ducey right now. I got to spotlight it when I'm going to do it, because I don't do it that often. He wants to add 10 staff members to the charter school board. Mm. Now, the purpose of these staff members is not to help the members of the board and do their busy work. It's really to go out into the charter schools and inspect them and oversee them. And if there are problems, to spot the problems, possibly to do more in the nature of looking at their finances. So that becomes somewhat of a different issue. And I was looking at his proposed budget this morning, and what he said is that right now there are fewer than 100 inspections of charter schools a year. In other words, people walk out of the office and go to 100 schools, and this will bring it up to 500 inspections a year, 560 charter schools total, 500 inspections, and that will help. I have to praise him for that, and I'm going to watch this carefully, and I think other people should, because we're going to learn a lot about the Republicans, who are very protective of charter schools, whether they're going to cut this out of Ducey's budget. But in this case, I'm rooting for the governor, because I think he's on the right side of that subject.
David Safir, TucsonWeekly.com, writes at The Range. He's on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Quickly, let's mention we had Superintendent Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo was with us, I think, a day or two after that Sunday piece came out in the Star, Sunday before last, with some misleading enrollment numbers. And Dr. Trujillo wanted a correction. I believe he did get one, didn't he, from the Star?
No, he didn't, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I talked with the reporter. I should say I emailed back and forth with the reporter, and she said she stands by her numbers. She didn't want to argue with what I wrote or what Dr. Trujillo said. But in fact, her numbers, while Dr. Trujillo said 6,000 students a year not in TUSD is an accurate number, depending on how you look at it, you can pull that number out. In fact, and I know this is a fact, no more than 1,000 plus students are leaving TUSD a year. No, in other words, the total enrollment is going down, he told me, by 1,200 students this past year, you know, over this course of the year, which is a lot.
Was this 6,000 potential students that would be lost?
What he explained to me, and I was hoping the reporter would explain it to me as well, is he says there are a certain pool of people who live in the TUSD district area who potentially are TUSD students. You take that pool of students, you subtract from it the number who are actually in TUSD, and you get 6,000. Now, those aren't 6,000 who ever signed up for TUSD, and it doesn't mean that TUSD is going down 6,000 every year. It means here's a potential for students, for 6,000 more students who are going to charter schools, or they're going to private schools, or they're going to other school districts, which is perfectly acceptable in our state education system. So they're in Catalina Foothills, or they're in Vail, or something like that. But I know how many students there are in TUSD. 4 years ago, there were about 50,000 students. If they lost 6,000 students a year, which is what was implied, not actually said, but implied, they'd be down to 24,000 students, or they'd be down to 26,000 students. And in fact, they have 47,500 more or less. So they're down about 2,500 students over those 4 years. It's just, here's what bothers me, Bill. TUSD struggles, TUSD has problems, and TUSD gets a lot of people who are down on it. And when the paper blasts across the front page, one-third of the page on the Sunday paper, and implies, and I believe that that's what they were saying when I first read it, that there were literally 6,000 less students this year than last year, that gives TUSD a hit. People who listen to this show, people who read my blog may realize that's different, but most people are thinking, my God, TUSD is losing 6,000 students a year. It's a problem. It's a real problem.
David Safir, you can find his work, TucsonWeekly.com, in the Range column. David, thank you very much. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Bill.
Coming up next, Eye on the Ball. Steve Rivera is the host from 1 to 3. Coming up tomorrow, Hank Amos will be with us. Also, David Layton, he does the very popular Street Smarts column at the Arizona Daily Star. On behalf of David Safir and Bob Dio, my engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.